TheJud.com's NFL Tackle Podcast with Clint Schaefer and Tom Suit. Now here's Jesse Perry.
Hey everybody, I'm Jesse Perry, also known as Mangy on the Chud forums, and welcome to the first edition of the NFL Tackle Podcast here at Chud.com. I just want to thank Clint and the rest of the staff at Chud for giving me this opportunity. It seems like people have enjoyed the column. I certainly have, and I hope we get to do this next NFL season as well. Clint and Tom will be providing their picks and in-depth analysis of this weekend's playoff games later, but in keeping with the tradition of our column, before we get to those guys, I have a few things to say. The 2012 season was a fascinating one, with the Saints fiasco and the replacement refs fiasco and everything Roger Goodell said and did fiasco. But there were some positives this season, starting with the amazing comebacks of Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson, two first ballot Hall of Famers who are almost certainly cyborgs. What they did was amazing. There were other great storylines as well, with the Seahawks using that ridiculous Fail Mary call as a springboard to the playoffs. The 49ers ditching their starting QB, and they keep right on winning. And the Colts put together an inspiring season for coach Chuck Pagano. Nearly every team had an intriguing storyline, save for the bland-as-paced Tennessee Titans. Quick, name five of their players. And the Oakland Raiders, who also apparently played football this year. Also, the Browns. As members of the forum know, I am Chud's resident Browns fan, and they regaled me with another year of poop. So long to Mike, could you make this out to Cash Holmgren and the in-over-his-head coach Pat Shurmur, and hello to our new owner Jimmy Haslam and our new coach Chip... What? Oh, they just reported that? Oh, and then he changed his mind? Oh, and it was a big public relations debacle? Oh, and it was a big fucking mess? Okay, never mind. let me just take a break here. Just
son of a bitch!
Now here's my playoff picks for this weekend. I think the Broncos are going to womp the Ravens as Joe Flacco looks exactly as not as great as he actually is. The Patriots will beat the Texans in a game closer than the experts think. Remember, Brady has struggled the past few playoffs. I think Seattle gives the overrated Falcons the beatdown that everyone expects. Sorry, Jacob. And San Francisco squeaks past Green Bay in the best game of the weekend. I'm Jesse Perry. Thanks for listening. Now here's Clint and Tom with their playoff picks. Take it away, fellows.
All right. This is Clinton Schaefer.
Hey, this is Tom Suit.
And we're here going to go ahead and do our picks for the week. I guess, starting off, we'll start with the first game, Denver Broncos versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I want nothing more in this to see Baltimore not score any points. If they could score negative points, I would be excited because I am not very happy with the way they made me look last week.
My hatred for the Ravens goes back way further than just last week. So I'm not going to go ahead and lie. I think last week I posted a picture of the Indianapolis cheerleaders and said I was going to be one of them too.
Yes.
This week I'll be donning the Broncos cheerleading outfit, which is will not be a pretty sight. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned...
Please don't post any pictures of that.
Well, you know, never know. Might liven up the site a little bit too. Bearded cheerleaders, right?
Well, you know, Flacco, you can say what you want about Flacco. You know, the guy completed, 13 passes last week against Indianapolis defense that is mediocre at best.
Correct.
Almost half, if not the majority of them, were bombs, where he just said, the hell with it, I'm going to chuck the ball to Anquan Boldin. Or I'm going to throw a 2-yard pass to Ray Rice.
If Boldin doesn't play the game he does last week, Flacco has no numbers to go ahead and put up for.
No, no. And he's still not an elite quarterback. I'm sorry, Joe. I love you. Well, no, I don't. But I know you're a, what is he, a blue hen? A Delaware blue hen. And great on you, and you've done great for Delaware, but you're still not an elite quarterback. An elite quarterback would have taken over that game, and we would have just been throwing up prayers in the air and hoping that his guys catch him, especially against the defense. Indianapolis is allowing like 20-something points a game. That's what Baltimore scored, but all of it was chunks. And Flacco threw one pass directly to a Colts guy, and the guy dropped it. That would have been a pick six, and that probably could have turned the game around.
Well, I mean, when you get to go ahead and compare Baltimore going ahead and controlling the game, they manhandled Indianapolis. Indianapolis came out, they didn't look like they were ready to play.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with the Broncos.
No.
You know, Peyton at the reins, he's going to control his side of the game. You can say, everyone's like, oh, Ray Lewis this, Ray Lewis that, and he inspired the defense. My opinion is, you know, Ray Lewis may have played his last game in Baltimore, but this week will be his last game, period. If he's retiring after this season, he's not going to get another chance. Peyton Manning's going to go ahead and pick apart their aging secondary. They're going to be able to move the ball on the ground, something Indianapolis has not been known to go ahead and do all year. And then on the other side of things, if they don't have that defense controlling the time that the offense can be on the field, because Peyton Manning's going to be chewing up the clock.
Yep.
I'm sorry. There's no way I can see Flacco not bending under pressure and probably not breaking under pressure.
This is a rematch, obviously, of a game that was played earlier in the season, and the Ravens were, you know, one of the early road bumps on Denver's 11-0, I believe, their streak. And, you know, that the game was relatively close until right towards the end of the first half, Flacco threw one of his signature pick sixes. And that kind of loosened it up. And then, you know, even though the final score was, you know, Denver didn't destroy them, that pretty much ended the game right there. And Ray Lewis is going to play. Ray Lewis is not a good cover linebacker. He's a lot of good things. He's a great linebacker, maybe one of the best ever, if not the best. But not a great cover linebacker. Already got his arm in a brace. Peyton Manning will go after that like a shark to blood in the water. And the Ravens got a few guys back that weren't there last time. I don't think Bernard Pierce played last time, but Ellerbe is hurt. They don't know if he's going to play. He's got an ankle injury he got last week. Ray Lewis is 0-7 against Peyton Manning. Ed Reed is 0-8. I don't think that will change. It's in Denver. They're averaging 30-something points a game in Denver, and that's not, you know, that's not, I heard it tonight, that's not a couple 50s and some 10s in there. That's consistently 30-something points a game. So, yeah, I think all signs in the old eight ball point to this is going to be a Denver victory. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but
my biggest question is, do you think that Denver can cover their spread? I mean, they're at 10-point spread right now.
It's possible. Depends on, I think what they're going to do early on is I think they're going to try to jump on them early on. That's what I've seen from Denver, is they tend to start running that fast-paced, quick strike, and if they can get a couple touchdowns or scores up on you, then they just release the defense. And, you know, we didn't hear much from Dwight Freeney last week, but he and Von Miller are a few years apart in age, and I don't think Baltimore is going to have an answer for Von Miller, the rest of that defense. So, yeah, I think Denver's got this one. And I think, I mean, just a preview of coming attractions, Denver probably is going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, in my opinion. We shall see what we shall see. Obviously, they got two more games to go, but I think that's what it is.
I think the biggest road bump will be the Patriots. But that's an upcoming pick.
We're teasing you. We're teasing you now.
So definitely, I sit on the Ravens.
Yeah, a pox on Joe Flacco. Quaff the Ravens. Now this time, quaff the Colts.
Well,
Colts. Did I just say Colts?
Yeah, you said the Colts.
I'm just sticking Peyton Manning back. I'm still stuck on the Colts. Why didn't they win? God damn it! So yes, I will go with the Broncos and Peyton Manning.
I just hope that anybody knocks the Ravens out. Yeah. So I'll cheerlead again. Broncos. Game two, Green Bay, San Francisco.
Did you leave your heart in San Francisco?
You know what? I don't think San Francisco has their heart in San Francisco.
I think, in the long run, they may have won games with him, but I think they're going to suffer from making the switch from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick. kind of like not exactly shooting the horse after it broke its leg, but putting him out to pasture. I think Alex Smith finally had his confidence. Confidence to know they got to the NFC Championship game last year. They got to play at home. You know, he learned from last year, and now he gets hurt. He no longer has a job. I don't know if he'll be with the 49ers next year. I don't know if he'll ask to be traded.
He's a competent quarterback.
I think he is. I don't think he's a superstar. He's no Joe Flacco.
Of course not. There's only one Joe Flacco.
People may look back and say it was a turning point for the 49ers. I don't. Speaking of heart, I think he did have heart, and I think he was finally happy in some place that felt and accepted him. But does it have an effect on the team morale in general? Who knows? You know, I'm sure there are guys in the locker room, whether they say it or not. Some are Colin Kaepernick guys, and some are Alex Smith guys. They're also missing Justin Smith, still, speaking of another Smith, on defense. And I still don't get the whole thing with the Rams. Why did they have problems with the Rams?
It really strikes me as weird because coming into this season, the 49ers were by far the team in the NFC that were to be unstoppable. And you come into the season, and they struggled. Yes, they've won a lot of their close games, but you know it's another one of those things that you get to go back and say, well, you know, how many dominant teams did they actually play? They did have some good wins in there, but they also lost to some weird teams along the way. And to me, they sit as this team that wakes up every morning and decides what team they're going to be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of their losses was to the Vikings. Now, the Vikings were a playoff team, don't get me wrong, but they lost to the Vikings.
With their defense, their run defense particularly, they should have been able to go ahead and stop Adrian Peterson. The Vikings were a one-note team.
Yeah, and I that's, like I said, that's one of those things. And then the tie and then the loss to the Rams, I don't get it.
I don't want to piss off any Vikings fans out there. One of the best one notes you've ever seen. But still, with the regarded defense, they shouldn't.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. You know. But Green Bay, obviously, they're getting their pieces and parts back on offense. Like I said before, they keep recycling these running backs and finding these running backs that fit the scheme. And now the guy, what's the guy's name? DeJuan Harris, I think, that came on last week, you know, and so they're getting that back. They brought Ryan Grant back, you know. They still got Alex Green. They still, you know, they've got.
Is Benson coming back too?
And they talked about him, but I don't think with all the other guys they're signing, I don't think he's coming back. But you know, Greg Jennings is back. You had James Jones. Randall Cobb is really, really
he's come a long way. He was on my fantasy team. I loved him this year.
Yeah, and I think their offense. You know, when you talk about the defense, I think the question in this game is going to be the Green Bay defense. Is the Green Bay defense going to have enough to stop the 49ers when they need to? I think Green Bay will move the ball as they need to. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got to be in the top five quarterbacks in the NFL just purely on skill set alone. You know, Tom Brady has the brains, Peyton Manning has the brains, and Aaron Rodgers, he's got the smarts, he's won a Super Bowl, he's been in the playoffs, he can run, he can move. I don't think the 49ers would really, really have to close the door completely on the running game. And then if you did and let Aaron Rodgers take over the game, that's not any better.
No.
And that's not good for them, no matter how good your defense is.
What was the backup quarterback's name for Minnesota last week?
Joe Webb.
Webb went out there and he was basically a preview of what could happen with Colin Kaepernick. The bad thing about Webb was he was one note wonder. He couldn't throw the ball.
No.
He could run. I think that San Francisco can pose a major challenge to Green Bay, and to say it that way, I feel that. That reflects a little bit on how I'm swaying towards this game.
Yeah.
I should be talking about, I think that Green Bay should be able to pose a challenge to San Francisco. Instead, I find it to be the opposite way around. I think that, for me, the 49ers have more to prove that they want to win this championship.
Yeah.
If it was last year with the momentum they had last year, I don't think there would be a question in my mind where they sat at or whether they were hungry enough to go ahead and get to that final game.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
This year, I don't know. I think this is their game to go ahead and prove that they won it. And
well, remember at one point everybody was like, "Well, right off Green Bay, you know they were what, third in the conference? They were looking up at undefeated Minnesota and undefeated Chicago.
They were almost 0-4,
and they were out of it.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm using air quotes, by the way, then for you listeners out there. So you know, and then they came right back and kind of like told Minnesota and Chicago, "Thanks for keeping our seat warm. We'll take the division now, and you know we'll move on in the playoffs." And that's, for me, that's where I'm leaning, is like I think the Packers feel like they should be there. They know they should be there. They proved that by coming back from a not so great start and came right in, won the division, stepped right over the Vikings, and on their way, you know, and I think to them, they are one of those teams, even as not bad, the defense isn't bad, it's getting better, but I think that they feel like, and they know, we can go to the Super Bowl if we want to. We hold our destiny in our hands, and I think the Packers can win this one.
I go with the Packers too. I think if they make it by this game, I think that next week they pose probably the biggest threat to go ahead and represent the NFC. But this game comes first, and this is definitely a hard stop on the road.
Yep, I agree.
Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons. To me, this might be the most action-packed game of the weekend. I definitely think that, you know, I want to see Baltimore beat down. I want to go ahead and see the rivalry going there, or the probably conference-style game that you're going to see from the 49ers-Packers. But this game, I don't think there's two more opposite-ended teams playing each other this week.
Yeah, Seattle has the defense. Russell Wilson, great rookie in the running for Rookie of the Year. If it weren't for Luck, and RG3 definitely would be in running for Rookie of the Year. The Atlanta Falcons, can you call them underrated? Do you call them underappreciated? What do you call them?
I don't think they're underrated, maybe underappreciated.
Yeah, and of course we live in Atlanta, so we have a little bit more leniency towards them. the games they've lost, they didn't look so good in their last couple of games, possibly because the season was kind of over for them.
Why go ahead and play your heart out and risk injury?
And they got their divisional rivals there at the end, Carolina and Tampa Bay, and even with maybe the head coach played his guys maybe a little bit too long against Tampa, thinking that they needed to win the game, but you know they still got their week off. The injury to John Abraham can't be that bad because they're not really saying anything about it. So there's not a lot of speculation here. There's not a lot of talk about it here in Atlanta. So we saw last week with the Redskins defense, and I don't know if anybody would argue with me that I said the Falcons defense is better than the Redskins defense. But the Redskins defense pretty much held Seattle in check up until about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game. And then that's when, you know, things started going haywire on the offensive side for the Redskins. And that was kind of when it all fell apart.
I think both those defenses are quite comparable, the Redskins and the Falcons.
Yeah.
And I definitely sit there. I know last week I kind of made a fun of you because, you know, all throughout the season you've been defense wins championships and sticking with the defense. And I thought that Seattle definitely had the more dominant defense last week.
I looked like a genius after the first quarter of that game. I was patting myself on the back. My arm hurt so much because I was like, yes, 14-0.
You know what? I was really sweating.
Put. It's I'm like, I picked this game.
Out of all the games, I was so damn sure. And it's the only one we split on. I'm like, I'm so damn sure that there's no way Seattle's going to lose that game.
As I said on the boards, maybe I need another 12 or 13 games to hide the 2 or 3 that that I don't do so well on. But yeah, and I agree. And it's kind of one of those things, all things being equal, I definitely take the defense, the team with the better defense, over the team with possibly the better offense. But I think as a whole team, I don't know. There's just something about Pete Carroll in the playoffs and away from home, and he's more like a rah-rah guy to me more than an X's and O's guy. And he did it in college, and that worked fine in college. But, you know, they took out New Orleans when they weren't expected to a couple of years ago. But then, you know, and then they traveled to Washington, and then they're going to have to turn right around and come back to the East Coast again a week later. Maybe I'll be wrong again, and, you know, so be it. But Falcons have had a week off. The Falcons have been in their close games. They figured out how to get them done this year. And I think they have a chip on their shoulder. They will not stop the running game like the Redskins did. They will not stop running the ball. They have learned that we need to keep running the ball.
But do they really have a running game that they can put up to go ahead and do that?
I think between Michael Turner and Jaquizz Rodgers, I think they do. And, number 44. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I live here and I can't remember his name. It tells you how much I follow the team. But
I'm about the same way, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they do. I think they have enough weapons. I mean, you know, they have Roddy White, they have Julio Jones, they have Harry Douglas, they have Tony Gonzalez. You know, they have enough weapons on defense that I don't think you still got a lot of rookies on Seattle's side. They're playing well. That rookie linebacker may be defensive rookie of the year. You know,
well, my opinion about it is this. I think that if this game stays close, I don't see Seattle being good enough to put it away.
No.
That's where it comes into question, especially on the road. If Seattle's able to get up to take a lead, it might be a different story.
The Falcons could be in trouble.
Right, because I do think that their defense will keep Atlanta working hard to go ahead and score. I do think they will keep them in check. I don't see this being a high-scoring game.
Well, one thing the Falcons have seemed to do all year is if they get off to a slow start, they can't get out of their own way, and they can't seem to get past that slow start. If at the end of the first quarter, if the score is nothing to nothing, or 3-0, or something like that.
They will have problems.
And I think they will have issues.
And I think the scheduling plays a big part in this game. You know, Seattle's coming from the West Coast, and they're going to be playing essentially at 10 a.m. in the morning for them.
Yep.
You know, that's going to take a bearing upon that team. If they start off groggy, Atlanta gets up at all, I don't see the Seahawks coming back. Jazzy Justin last week just kept commenting on the article, telling me how, you know, I was downgrading Seattle, even though I picked them to win. He picked on me, not you, who picked the Redskins to win. He picked on me.
Well, I'm an idiot.
But, you know, the whole point is, as you said, there's a lot of rookies on that team. And that team has room to grow. I don't know if this is necessarily their year to go. And I think the road games are definitely hard for them. Now, if they're able to make it by the Falcons, I think next week's NFC matchup would be very interesting.
Yes, I do, because if they did make it past them and San Francisco won, it would be the third time golden for Seattle and San Francisco. And if Green Bay wins, then Seattle has to not only go away again, they have to play outside.
And not only play outside, but then we get this coveted rematch of the replacement ref's bad call
at
the end of the game. And, you know, I don't care what anybody says. I don't think Seattle should have won that game at the beginning of the year.
No.
And that changes the whole outcome of the season. You got to wonder where Seattle winds up in the playoff card at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seattle was definitely a second-half team.
Yep.
You know, you got to wonder if that doesn't go ahead and slow that second half awakening up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. But as I said, I'll go probably a little hometown bias in the blood here, but I'll go with the Falcons.
I'm not going hometown bias. I'm going sleep deprived bias on this one. But I will pick the Falcons also.
There you go.
So the final game of this divisional playoff week is the New England Patriots versus the Houston Texans.
The Patsies. The Patsies versus the Texans. The Texans obviously got embarrassed on Monday Night Football. Maybe they should be happy they're not playing on Monday Night Football because they didn't look too good against
They didn't look too good against New England last time. And maybe they don't play well at night because they didn't look too good against Green Bay either.
Well, I don't know. They seem to have just taken their beatings when they've come. When it's time for them to lose, they just roll over and die.
Yes.
Which is not a good quality in a team.
Yeah.
Typically, you want to go ahead and keep your team in there fighting to go ahead and pull out a victory. As a Steeler fan, I think it's in our blood to go ahead and hate two teams. And I think the first one already came out already on the column here this week. Yeah, I have no affection whatsoever for Baltimore. You know, some people may speculate that we're supposed to hate the Browns, but, you know, that Browns team that I'm supposed to hate was ripped out and stripped out and moved to Baltimore, so I'll always hate them instead. And the other team is the Patriots. And anything can be said about reasons why, but, you know, I'm a shallow person. I just hate him. So,
Tom Brady's hair. You hate his hair.
I hate his hair. Right? You know what? I hate that he has a supermodel wife. I hate everything about the guy. I hate Bill Belichick's sweatshirts that he wears with no sleeves on him. I mean, this guy looks like a bum off the street. But
he's a hell of a football coach and bum.
Yeah, and the thing I got to say about it is no matter how much my fan opinion comes in on it, and I know I'm going to get torn apart for saying all this on the boards, but no matter how much my fan opinion comes apart, I don't see any way the Texans stand a chance in this game.
I agree. You could say they took that beat down so badly before, they will have a chip on their shoulder. They'll be wanting to prove something. But you know, right now the Patriots are in that mode. The Patriots are in that mode where their offense is firing on all signals. When that offense gets going, it not only knocks back the defense, but it knocks back the other team's offense, because then the offense feels pressure that, oh my God, we have to score touchdowns because our defense cannot stop them.
Well, Belichick is ruthless in that manner. When he decides that he's going to put a team out, there's no maybe this team is coming
there's
back.
There's no field goals when I'm inside the 25. I'm going for touchdowns even if there's 3 minutes left in the game and I'm up by 30. Tom Brady's throwing the ball, and he's throwing it to Wes Welker. He's throwing it to any of his other tight end / H-back / fullback / whatever they call him these days. And, yeah, but Belichick is never one to stand back from going from the throat. It'd be nice if the Texans could keep it close. Even in that, if it's a close game, I don't think it weighs in favor of the Texans because it is in Foxborough. It is January. And if it snows, God help them, because the Patriots tend to score a hell of a lot of points when it snows.
I think this becomes I don't see this being even a bump in the road for the Patriots this week. I think this is a practice week for them, which is unfortunate because I think Denver's going to have to play and play hard against the Ravens.
Yeah.
This is basically another rest week, and I hope they look at it that way and get beat. But, you know, this is a pick I'd love to be wrong about, but there's no way that I can see it. I can't see that defense holding down New England.
No.
And once that game starts to get away, I think it's gone.
Yeah, I agree. To your point earlier where you said that when they start getting beat down, they just kind of go, okay, I guess we're screwed. And that, I mean, it kind of happened in the Cincinnati game. You know, even though they won the game, they could not pull away.
Right.
They could not pull away from the team.
The Texans didn't look like they wanted to go to the next game. They kept saying, hey, please take us over, Bengals. Yeah. The Bengals were supposed to be an immediate write-off. They snuck into the playoffs, as far as it goes. The Texans barely lost the first seed. This is a team that should have walked in there and said, hey, look, you have to beat us if you want to go somewhere. And that was their game to go ahead and dominate. And instead, they barely won.
Schaub has looked very, very ordinary. Once again, no Flacco.
Exactly.
Know, but yeah, Schaub has looked very, very ordinary the last few weeks. If they can't. They got the running game going, but Schaub was still making bad passes. He was still, I mean, you know, the one touchdown that Cincinnati had in the second half was from a pick six. And, you know, it's...
I think he's one of the better quarterbacks and more dedicated quarterbacks out there. But the thing is he has one notes on the receivers. He's had it for the last so many years. Yeah. They keep getting these guys in there. They keep saying they're going to be, hey, look, we're going to have Jacoby Jones this year. And we're going to have, what was the other guy they had the year before? I don't even know who plays opposite of Andre Johnson.
Yeah, no, Andre Johnson is there.
Andre Johnson is the whole wide receiving core.
Yeah.
You have three talented running backs. Everyone knows their names, but you have not a single wide receiver other than Andre Johnson.
Yeah, and that's an issue. And they drafted a new receiver this past season, but obviously he hasn't done very much because you haven't heard his name called. So, yeah, I think, unfortunately, for the Texans, and I kind of like the Texans in the fact that when I used to play Madden all the time, this was one of the teams I would play with besides the Steelers. So maybe I kind of have a soft spot, maybe a soft spot in my head for them. But, yeah, I don't – to me, this is kind of like the Green Bay-Minnesota game of last week after you heard that Joe Webb was going to be the starter. You're like, yeah, there's no way in hell that Green Bay is going to lose that game, and I agree with this one. I don't think there's any way in hell that the Patriots lose this game.
I've had a soft spot for the Texans ever since I had Steve Slayton in his first year on my fantasy team.
There you go.
And won my championship that year. So, but, you know, I definitely don't see any single way that they walk away with a victory.
Agreed.
Pats, both of us. And I believe we pretty much agreed on all picks.
I think we agreed on all, yeah, on all picks. So no, unfortunately, no heads clashing here. But, hey, maybe next week.
Yeah, next week we'll do it. All right. This is Clinton Schaefer.
And Tom Suit.
Signing off for the NFL Tackle.
Hasta.
This has been the Chud.com NFL Tackle Podcast with Clint Schaefer, Tom Suit, and Jesse Perry, exclusively at Chud.com.